Pastor Michael Eaton. We want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. If you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life, and you can pick it up at Amazon.com or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Wonderful way to bless someone away, amen. And we want to thank everybody, and especially the cooks, amen. Everything was anointed, but that food anointing was really good, amen. I hate to play favorites. But we want to thank you for all that you've done, and give her a hand clap of praise. The devil didn't like you being used like that, and we thank God for keeping you, amen. Amen. Tonight we're starting what we're calling Wednesday School, and we're starting this series, Wednesday School, to get caught up. Not only did we have a wonderful occasion for last Sunday, it was a great occasion to bless someone away, but it was the first Sunday that people all over the world that's a part of our convention, who has this faith journey series all over the world, they began their Sunday school lesson, and that Sunday school lesson was written by our very own sister Kimberly Eaton, and we're going to go through this book as well. And one thing that I'm just so excited over is that all over the world, when they read the about the writer, the first line they read is that Kimberly M. Eaton is a member and first lady of Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we are just so excited. So Sunday was a real, really, really big day for me. Amen? Amen. But we're going to go through these on Wednesday nights. And one of the things I always loved doing was to be a Sunday school teacher. But again, we're going to call this Wednesday School. And if you have your books, you can look in your book. And, of course, we always want to have a handout for you to write on. And we're going to go through this, and like many Sunday school teachers, we have to share it the way the Lord places upon our heart. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to talk about in the lesson today a promised assurance. A promised assurance. Assured. And let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. It's Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 3 and 18 through 22. This is the NIV. I believe it's three slides. Let's read it out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three.
This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in the book all the words I have spoken to you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity, and restore them to the land I gave their ancestors to possess as the Lord. This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortress of Jacob's tent and have compassion on his dwelling. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers, and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honor, and they will not be disdained. Their children will be as days of old, and their ministry will be established before me. I will punish all who oppress them. Their leaders will be one of their own. Their rulers will arise amongst them. I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For whom is he will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord. So you will be my people, and I will be your God.
Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. And again, we're talking about in the Sunday school lesson, a promise assured, a promise assured. We're going to talk about tonight the publication of the promises. We're going to talk about tonight the promise of praise. We're going to talk about the promise of presiding prince. We want Christians to know tonight that Christians should look to God for his promise of restoration. For his promise of restoration. If you read the book or what Sister Eton shared in the book, you will note that this lesson is about restoration. And the unique thing is that's so intriguing to me about this lesson is God promised to rise up a city from an ash heap. Mm-hmm. And to make it like it used to be after the children of God had to live disobediently before God and was punished as a result. He promised restoration. That's what I want you to think about tonight. So, restoration. Some of you may be here tonight and you've lost something. It's not the way it used to be. You may have lost your job or lost your marriage or you may have lost all your money or there's some stuff in your life that's not the way that it used to be. And God says to you tonight, wants to encourage you tonight that he's going to listen to you. He's going to hear you and not only hear you, but he's going to restore you.
Amen. Amen.
And literally the context of Jeremiah 30 can be found back in Jeremiah 29, and I'm going to share this video about that, and then we're going to go on and get into the lesson.
Sincerely seeking God. When we seek to know God, we should search for him with all our hearts, knowing that he will ultimately respond. Here's Gene to explain.
Jeremiah 25, 29, 10, 14, very familiar passage. For this is what the Lord says. When 70 years from Babylon are complete, after you've been there for 70 years, I'll attend to you, I will confirm my promise concerning you to restore you to this place, that is Jerusalem. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration, plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, the Lord's declaration. And I will restore your fortunes, gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you, the Lord's declaration. I'll restore you to the place I deported you from. It's interesting in Matthew, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking, the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who searches finds, for the one who knocks, the door will be opened. The Sermon on the Mount. Because the element that comes out of that passage is God cares for us. He wants us to call out to him. He is concerned about us. But we look for the truth in those passages that are affirmed in the New Testament. And what is the promise of the truth that is affirmed in the New Testament? When we seek to know God personally and intimately, we should search for him with all our hearts. That's universal. Knowing that God will ultimately respond.
Amen. That God will ultimately respond to you because there's some things, again, I said that you've lost. And the challenge in the video is saying that you need to don't give up hope or give up on God. You need to seek him because for somebody, God is saying tonight that I will be found. In New Testament terminology, he's saying keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. That your breakthrough is on the way. Don't give up.
All right.
Because he's getting ready to restore you. And that's the promise assured. And somebody can leave here tonight knowing that they've heard from God because God assured that promise. And we're going to give you an exercise to do tonight that if you believe God is going to do what he says, first of all, you got to pull from the principle of a publication of the promises. You see, in the text it says, write it in a book. Hello, somebody. And I will bring my people Israel and Judah from captivity and restore them. Again, this is talking about restoration for our New Testament terminology. What we're going to pull from this text is that God has the power to restore. And if you believe that God has the power to restore, then I want to challenge you, what you're praying for, what you're seeking for, what you're knocking for, why don't you write it down? Hello, somebody. And that's why we have a vision for the church that we want to do. That's a vision. It's being written down because we believe that God is saying that he's going to do what he says he can do. And we got a vision of that. And that's why I tell you to get there before you get there. Because we believe that God has the power to take us there. Hello, somebody. And somebody tonight, God says, I got the power to restore you. But you need to write it down and believe by faith. And if you have the book, this is what Sister Eaton wrote. It says, the Lord, the God of Israel, instructed Jeremiah to write everything that were given to him by the Lord and place it in a book after the destruction of Jerusalem. During this period of time, writing was pinned on a scroll. The information was very important to the Lord, and he gave them specific instructions that it be written. So God is saying for somebody, do you believe that he's about to restore some things in your life? Then write it down. Let that be your step of faith in believing that God is going to take you. He's going to restore you. And he's going to take you to where you need to go, where you need to be. It reminded me of text in Habakkuk 2 and 2. I think this is the first, familiar place where God tells you to write it down. The Lord says, then the Lord replied, write it down, the revelation, and make it plain on tablets to write it down and make it plain. What is it that you want God to do? Write it down and make it plain. What is it that you want God to restore? Write it down and make it plain. And that's one of the reasons why we have the 10 most wanted list right here. We wrote their names down to make it plain, and we're fasting and praying over and believing by faith that God is going to move in their lives. Hello, somebody. And we're standing and believe by faith that it's a promise assured that God is going to call some folk unto himself. Hello, somebody. Write it down and make it plain. What is it that you want God to do? Hello, somebody. Or better yet, in the text, what is it that you want God to redo? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Because once again, they were a prosperous nation, and now they're in captivity. And God says, I'm going to bring you from your slavery. Hello, somebody. Has anybody ever been enslaved to something? I'm going to bring you from the slavery of alcohol, drugs, gambling, any kind of addiction. I'm going to restore you back to the way you used to be. Hello, somebody. To where you used to be before you ran up in those casinos. You used to have money in your pocket. Now you're broke all the time. Hello, somebody. I know you're broke all the time. You say, why? You know you're broke all the time because every casino I know is building. Hello, somebody. Which means if they building, hello, somebody, that means they ain't really giving their money away. I always make a gesture and say, if I go to a casino, I ain't going to go to the one down there on the Texas state line because they building the whole city down there. Hello, somebody. They ain't giving no money away. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to go to a broke down casino because they giving their money away. Hello, somebody.
But I'm going to make you the way you used to be. You used to have money in your pocket. Now you're broke. Hello, somebody. I'm going to make it the way you used to be. You used to be married, but now you're single. Hello, somebody. I'm going to make you the way you used to be. I'm going to restore you, but you've got to believe it. You've got to write it down and have faith in the God that you serve. You got to write it down. You got to keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking, keep and believe by faith that God can do it. Amen. Hello, somebody. Can anybody believe tonight that God can do it?
Amen.
Yes,
yes,
yes. Oh, let me ask that question again. Yes. Anybody believe tonight that God can do it?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, go ahead and give him a hand clap of praise up in here. He can do it. And it's a promise for sure. Hello, somebody. You can stand on this thing. Hello, somebody. Here's a question tonight. I want you to ponder. Have you ever written a vision of from God about His coming blessings? And did you see that vision come true? Has anybody in here ever written the vision down? What you wanted God to do? And has it come true? Hello, somebody. Anybody want to share a testimony? I'm going to share my testimony. Anybody? Well, okay, since y'all been shy, I'm gonna say, you gonna go ahead? Okay. When I was single, I had a vision of the woman that I wanted to marry. Hello, somebody. And I wrote it down. I wrote it down, church.
Wrote it down.
And I prayed over it.
Yes, sir.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Prayed over it.
Yeah.
Hello, so kept singing, kept asking, kept knocking.
Uh-oh.
Was faithful to the Lord.
Yeah.
And guess what? That vision manifested itself. Hello, somebody. When Kimberly came, hello, somebody.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Yes,
it manifested itself. God brought her to me. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Literally brought her to me.
Wow.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, literally.
See,
when I talk to singles, I ain't telling you something that I don't know about. Hello,
right,
somebody.
Right.
You give a single say, ain't no good people around. Ain't no good people in Paul's back. They ain't got to be in Paul's back.
That's right. That's right.
Hello, somebody. God can bring them to you. Hello, somebody. Wherever you were. Hello, somebody. I was in Abilene, Texas then. Hello, somebody. I was thinking, ain't no, I ain't gonna find nobody in Abilene, Texas. Hello, somebody. But guess what? God said, oh, she ain't in Abilene, Texas right now. She's over there in Arlington, Texas. Hello, somebody. And I can bring her about 3 miles down the road. Hello, somebody. But I had a vision and I wrote it down.
Yeah.
And I prayed over it. And she's everything I have on that. Everything. Everything. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody.
I'm with you.
I wrote it down. I believe by faith. Hello, somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Somebody better get the right now. They're getting the right now.
Yeah.
Where my pen and paper at, preacher?
I'm ready to write, man.
Are you ready to write? It's a promise assured. You got to be committed to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And God can do it.
Amen.
Tell somebody.
Yeah.
He can do it. Don't tell me what he can't do.
I know you're right, man.
Hello, somebody. Let's go to the next. This is a little different. I switched up from the writer. I apologize to the writer. The writer in the book has a promise of restoration. I have a promise of praise. Okay. The promise of restoration is found in verse 18. But I just want to go on down to verse 19 and praise the Lord.
Right. Yes,
it says, from then will come songs of thanksgiving and sounds of rejoicing. Why will there be praise? Oh, let me tell you why. You got to read back to the context. This is what the Lord says. I will what? Restore the fortunes of what? Jacob's tent. Hello, somebody. And I will have compassion on his what? Dwelling. And what else? The city. Hello, somebody. What? Hello, somebody. I just went ahead and praised the Lord because God says he's going to restore my fortune. God says the thing that the world sees that have been ruined. Have you ever had anything ruined before the world's eye? This is what happened to the city of the people of God. It was in ruins. It was ashes. Yeah. And God says on that mound, the very same place where you destroyed, on the very same place where you thought that you'd never love again, on that very same place where you went through bankruptcy, in that very same place, God says, I'm about to restore you. Hell, somebody. In Jesus' name. I know I ain't supposed to be preaching in Wednesday school. But this is some good stuff here. A promise assured. I couldn't help but to think this would be like God saying of that church right down there that haunts me.
Yeah.
Because I hear the tale that it used to be full of people. It used to be vibrant. It used to be a church that was alive. And now you look at it and it's barely there. The doors are wide open and you can see all the way through. It's something haunting about that. It's like the Lord saying that I'm going to restore the fortunes of that church. Yeah. And I'm going to take it. And I'm going to rebuild it right where it is. Yeah. And it's going to have more fortune, or as much fortune as it had before. God has the power to restore. Hello, somebody. That's why you can't ever give up on the Lord. That's why you can't ever give up on the Lord. God can restore. He can give it all back. Come here and ask Job what happened to him. Job said, oh, my life is reflected of the children of Israel, except that I didn't do nothing wrong. Hello, somebody.
Yeah, you're right.
Hello, somebody. See, the children of Israel had did something wrong. They had forsaken God. Mm-hmm. Job would say, I went to the same, but I didn't do nothing wrong. He just wanted to glorify himself in my life. And I went to hell and back.
Yeah.
And guess what God did for me? He restored me. Hello, somebody. He restored the fortunes of Job. Hello, somebody. As a matter of fact, he gave him, as some preachers say, double for his trouble.
Double. Yes, sir.
Gave him double what he had. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Isn't that a reason to praise?
Yes.
I think I want to shout right now for what God is about to do.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to praise him right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. You said that you are about to restore. I've lost some things in this last week, this last month, this last year. I've lost some things, and now you're telling me, Father, that you're going to restore it.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. And that's why I praise him.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. This is what Sister Ethan wrote. God is speaking of restoration for the children of Israel and Judah. He is promising to rebuild their homes and their palaces upon the same land where it's destroyed. That gets me, boy. You're going to build it right where it was destroyed. Hello, somebody. Right where you thought it was all over, where there's no hope. Right in that very same spot. I'm about to rise it up again. Everything that was there prior to their captivity will be in the proper place once again. And it says here, we as believers should understand that God is what? In the blessing business. That's your first lady saying, God is in the blessing business. Don't you believe that God is still in the blessing business? Hello, somebody. And he can bless you right where you were destroyed.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Boy, that's deep to me. Right where it all ended. He can raise it up again. If you don't believe me, why don't you ask old Lazarus? Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Lazarus, what was his problem? He only had one problem. He was dead.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. That was his problem.
That was all his problem.
He was dead. And not only that, but he was dead. in one day. And then you say, why you say he's dead in one day? Because what happened with Lazarus is the Jewish culture believed that the spirit would hover around for 3 days. That could be hope. But on that fourth day, there would be no hope.
No hope.
And Jesus showed up on the scene, not on the third day, but on the fourth day, and said, Lazarus, come forth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hello,
amen.
Somebody. Oh, when all hope was gone, God called his name.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. There's somebody here that needs your name called. Because all hope is gone, and you need Jesus to call your name.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Oh, you need him to call your name and tell you to come on to raise you up right where you died.
Yeah. Wow.
Hello, somebody. Right where you were dead. Hello, somebody. Ooh. To raise you up. Thought you were going to be sinking. Folk thought that there was no hope. Folk thought Jesus was crazy about the same roll away the stone. But Jesus, who had the power, he said, he came and said, Lord.
Yeah.
Come for.
Come on.
That's restoration.
Yeah.
You said, Jesus, you don't know, preacher, I was dead when I came in this place.
Yeah.
And God is saying, come forth
right
Ooh.
Now.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Come on.
Hello, somebody. And that text that old boy shared, Jeremiah 29:11. He said, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you.
Yeah.
Plans to give you hope and to give you a future. Hello. Is anybody here tonight need some hope?
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Yeah, go ahead and give God another hand clap of praise. I've been here. Is anybody in here need some hope?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I need some hope.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Well.
Hello, somebody. Because I thought my future was bleak. As a matter of fact, I thought about giving it all up.
Yeah.
I thought about taking my own life because I didn't think my life was worth living. And tonight you're telling me that you don't mean to harm me. Tonight you're telling me you want to give me some hope. Tonight you're telling me that there's a future for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Oh, promise assured you shall live. And not die. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Talking about a promised assured.
Wow.
Have you ever lost something very precious? Did you feel that it would ever be restored? Have you ever just lost something precious?
Spoke to many fire victims or tornado victims. Many times they don't tell you that the stuff, well, they tell you first of all they lost everything. And many times they don't tell you that, or they'll tell you it what they miss is not the big screen TV that they their cars, it was that stuff that was precious, those pictures.
Yeah.
Little Johnny, when he was first born and when he took his first step, they lost the precious.
And God says that I can restore that which you lost. Anybody want to share about losing anything precious?
Okay, well, I'll
share. I had a similar experience.
A lot of times I don't like to share the bad stuff that's going on in my life. But many years ago, I had lost everything.
And the one thing that I
missed, and I'm talking from experience, was my pictures of my baby girl. I didn't lost all of those pictures.
But God restored even the pictures. Yeah, I was thinking about some pictures.
And then one time I went to get her, and she had pictures with her. Mm. When she was a little girl.
Hello, somebody. He restored those, and then I didn't ask about it.
Hello, somebody.
God can do it, church.
Amen. He can do it.
I just have so many other examples of how he restores.
so many times in my life. You know, sometimes, you know, people make you think that having a living a Christian life means that you won't have no problems. Hello, somebody. That's the life I'm going to feel ahead. Because I done been through a whole lot in my life. Yes, I lived for the Lord, and when I left home at 19, I was living for the Lord. I went through a whole lot of stuff. Not all good.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But look at me now. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
A lot of times, the only way people know I've been through something is I have to tell them. Hello, somebody.
Lord help.
They think I'm Theo from the Hustables. Now, Theo had it a lot better than I did. Hello, somebody. Yeah. But I want to encourage you that there'll be times in your life that you lose, but don't give up.
Amen. Amen.
Keep living.
Amen.
Keep living.
Yeah.
Keep living to see what the end gonna be.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. Last, and then we'll go into our time of prayer. I promise, Presiding Prince, in verse 21, it says, their leaders will be one of their own. Their rulers will rise from amongst them. I promise, Presiding Prince. And that would mean a lot for a nation that was enslaved. You see, because as a slave, they didn't have no leaders to represent them,
right,
to lead them. And they had people from other nations and other countries over them. Mm. Hello, somebody. Have you ever been through a situation, and you've heard me use the illustration by Kunta Kinte all the time, because Kunta Kinte could not grasp the concept of being a slave. He couldn't grasp the concept. That's why he ran off all the time.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. He wasn't used to somebody being over him. He didn't understand the slavery concept, and he kept running away. Hello, somebody. And these people were the same way. They had other folk over them. Hello, somebody. And they had to live at the whim of other people, not having a say, not having a vote. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Let's see what Sister Eton wrote. It says, this was an encouraging promise that God made to the children of Israel and Judah. They would not have to deal with leaders who did not know them or their culture. They would not have to suffer at the hands of selfish leaders who made rulers that only benefited them. It's dangerous to have somebody over you that don't know you and your customs. Man, I've seen this play out in with a lot of churches when they look for a pastor. A lot of times they won't choose a pastor from amongst them. Mm-hmm. And they can have ministers on the roster,
right,
who grew up in the church and know the church culture and was groomed by the pastor before them. And a lot of times they don't want a leader from amongst them. They'll go off and get somebody from way away from somewhere. And that person, way away from somewhere, will come in, and there'll be only one problem with that. Is the way that they did things way away is not the way that you do things. Hello, somebody.
Right.
Hello, somebody. And as a result, what ends up happening is the church begins to go to turmoil. Hello, somebody. Because the preacher wants to do what he used to do when he was way over there. And the people want to do what they're used to doing over here. Hello, somebody. And nine times out of ten, the people won't follow the preacher. Hello, somebody.
Right.
Because the preacher was probably going to be the first one out. One deacon said to a preacher, you're going to be gone before I'm gone. And if you're not a humble preacher, that's probably the truth. Hello, somebody. That's why you, as a minister and a preacher of God, you probably may need to listen to the people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. Because especially they love the Lord.
All right.
Hello, somebody. They've been in the church 50 years and love the Lord. Don't you think they deserve to be listened to?
Right.
Hello, somebody. They might be able to help you.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But that's what happens in marriages. Oh, first you fall in love. You know. They say opposites attract. Before marriage, opposites do attract, but after marriages, they attack. Hello, somebody.
That's right.
And repel.
Because
you didn't choose somebody from amongst you where you came from and all that. And this is just normal, everyday living. Hello, somebody. It ain't nothing bad or wrong about either, but he used to spend Christmas by himself because the family didn't have Christmas. But she used to be in with the family.
Yeah.
And at Christmas time, what do you think she want to do?
Spend time with Christmas.
She want to be with her family. What will you want to do? You want to be by yourself. Cause conflict. Hello, somebody. Because conflict. Because you got somebody who wasn't like you.
All right.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And I see Christian women do this all the time. Fall in love. Oh, ooh, he look like this. Oh, ooh, he got a halo and angels. Oh, I'm going to marry him. Ooh, I'm going to marry him. And knucklehead don't even go to church.
Oh, Lord.
And then when you get married, hello, somebody. She want to go to church, and guess what he want to do?
Stay home.
Want to stay at home, watch his car, watch football. Hello, somebody. And she mad at him. You need to go to jail. You need to go to jail. You're mad at him. Because you got somebody not from among you.
All right.
Hello, somebody.
Type it right, man.
Hello, somebody.
Type it right.
So God says, I'm going to give you somebody that know about who you are.
Man.
Hell, that's somebody that's a single person. God says, I'm going to give you somebody that know about who you are and know about the God that you serve.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. You know, a lot of women don't want. I don't want no man from the church.
He too boring.
And you're praying and you're asking the Lord to send you somebody. Hello, somebody. And he send you somebody. And he gonna show up and he gonna be nice. Hello, somebody. You know, I don't like nice men. I want a rough man. Hello. I want a thug. Hello, somebody.
one of them naughty boys.
I've seen it all the time. Have you ever seen some of the most devilish people? They marry to the good people.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that? I've seen it in the ministry. Oh boy, he's a knucklehead. Hello, somebody. They married because them good girls like bad boys.
Yeah.
But when they get a bad boy to live with, they get took and ran through the ringer. Hello, somebody. You're going to wish you had a nice guy. Hello, somebody. Fruit of the Spirit. Love is what?
Patient, kind.
A second word, love is kind. God's going to send you somebody that's kind. Are you ready? Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Are you ready? He ain't gonna be mean. Hello, somebody. He gonna send you something. Want somebody to be the way you should be in the first place. Hello, somebody. From amongst you, that's the principle here. He's gonna give him a leader from amongst him. Someone that knows the culture. Someone that knows about God. Someone that knows how to lead him. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. As a matter of fact, Deuteronomy warned about this.
Mm-hmm.
17:15. Read that together on three. 1, 2, 3.
Be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your fellow Israelites. Do not place a foreign over you. one who is not an Israelite.
Hello, somebody. Don't place a foreigner over you, single woman. He go to church. He's a Muslim. Oh, no, it don't work. He go to church. He believe in Buddha. He's like Oprah. He believes always need to God.
Always.
Hello, somebody. No, don't place a foreigner over you.
Right.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. New Testament terminology, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Right.
As a matter of fact, he used this awesome illustration. What does light and darkness have to do with one another?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, light
chases dark.
Don't put up with darkness.
Come on.
And if you have the light in you, if you've been saved, you shouldn't put up with darkness.
Right.
And then talking about this NFL player that beat, now it wasn't his wife he beat.
Fiance.
Ray Watts. Literally knocked her out.
Cold.
But she didn't what?
Married
him. What in the world does light have to do with darkness? Anybody with any good sense, and listen to me, because I might be saving somebody's life. Somebody not here, outside of here. God don't want you in a relationship with somebody that's knocking you out.
Come on, right. Amen.
Right.
And you may be a Christian and you're lying on God because you say, oh, God don't believe in the boy. God don't believe in you getting beat like you are not made into the image of God.
Right.
Amen.
And you know what, Pastor Eton? Looking at that video when him and her talking to the press, she still looks like she's afraid of him.
Yes.
I mean, she looked like she is really terrified of him.
Terrified of him, taking the blame.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. No, honey. If a man show you who he is, especially before you marry him, believe him.
Now.
Hello, somebody. That is not of God.
Amen.
God don't want you to be abused like
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. Don't put somebody like that over you. She married him. What you think? If that's what she did when she was single and had a choice.
Right.
Imagine what's going on now. Hello, somebody. Don't put no foreigners over you.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
Listen.
It's a promise assured. You need somebody that knows the Lord, loves the Lord, knows about your culture, Amen. Loves your culture. Somebody that can be equally yoked together with you. Hello, somebody.
Right.
As a church, as a family. And this is a promise assured. We're going to talk about this last thing. Do you think that choosing a right leader can make a great difference in your church, organization, marriage? Do you think if you choose the right person, it'll make a difference? How? Because it works. So it means you ain't going to have no problems?
No, it don't mean that. But it means that you can make it through that.
Yes.
And you work together.
Yes. You can work through. I've heard it said a marriage, the difference between a good marriage and a bad marriage is how you handle conflict. And they say both marriages have the same amount of conflict. Wow, that's deep, isn't it? It's how you handle it. And if you got two people heading the same ways with the Lord and love the Lord, even though, yeah, it'll work out, even though, you know, we all at one time or another get in the flesh. But it'll work out if you do it God's way. Amen? A promised, assured this week's study. I want to challenge you, if you have the book, to go and read through the lessons. So it can encourage your heart a little more.
Amen.
We're going to go into our time since we know we got a promise assured. Since the text and we started talking about God says asking, seeking, knocking, it's time to go into a time of prayer.
Yes.
And we know Sister Russian wants you to pray for her and her visit tomorrow. What was the name of that family again? The Hurley family. Are there any other prayer requests before we go to our knees?
Mary Grisham.
Mary Grisham. Amen. The Harrison Wright, Mary Grissom, the Harrison Wright, the Hurley family, Sister Rushing.
Tom Renfro, he's got cancer.
Tom Renfro. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you're able to get on your knees, if you're able to get to your knees and to remember to write the vision down. Once you leave here tonight, that these are names that you can put on your prayer request list. Write the vision down and ask God to work and to move. Shall we pray? Father God, we come tonight, Lord, just want to thank and praise your holy name, Father. For you're truly worthy to be praised, Father. And Father, tonight, Lord, you spoke to somebody and you wanted them to know, Lord, that things are not going to be, like they are now. Things are not going to be, destroyed. Things are not going to be torn apart. Things are not going to be, in shambles. Things are not going to be in ashes. Things are not going to be ruined. Oh, for your word tells us tonight that you've got the power to restore.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
In Jesus' name. And there's somebody here, Lord, that needs you to restore some things in their lives, Father. There's somebody tonight needs you to restore some things in their hearts and in their minds. Somebody tonight needs you to restore hope. Somebody needs you to restore a future. Somebody needs you to restore, a prayer request. Somebody is calling on you out of the inner recesses of their hearts and of their minds, Lord. Oh, having heard your word tonight about a promise, assured, Father, somebody's mustered enough faith to have the victory. Somebody's mustered enough faith to have victory, Father, in Jesus' name. Somebody's mustered enough faith to speak to the mountains and say, mountains, be moved in Jesus' name. Somebody came here tonight, Lord, that didn't have peace. Somebody came here tonight that has lost sleep, couldn't sleep last night. Somebody showed up here today believing by faith that if they could just, like that woman in the crowd, if they could just get here, if they could just touch the hem of your garment, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And you can be made whole and well again. Father God, we come tonight, Lord, praying, Father, for restoration, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. In Jesus' name. Even Father, praying for restoration of this church, Lord. There have been more vigorous times in the life of this church. And we're praying, Father, that you restore the fortunes of Bethlehem, yes, Father, in Jesus' name. We come praying, Lord, for those that are in the box, believing by faith that those that are in the box are part of the restoration of our church. And we're praying, Father, in Jesus' name, that you convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that they may be saved and that they may come to this house saying, what must I do to be saved? Yes, Father, yes, in Jesus' name. Name. Restore us, Father.
Restore us, Lord.
In Jesus' name, Father. Somebody's here sick in their body, Father. They used to be able to walk better than they used to. They walk now. They were in a better and more healthier place than they are now, Father. You're saying tonight that you're going to restore the fortunes of their youth, Father. That you're going to, Lord, touch their bodies and make them whole and well again, Father. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
We cry out to you, Father. Because, Lord, you said that there was a promise assured tonight. And it's still going to restore some things, Father.
Somebody here tonight needs to restore a relationship between a mother and a father, or a father and a child father. And we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name that you restore that relationship right now. It may be a relationship with a company, Father. Restore that relationship, Father, in Jesus' name. It may be a relationship between a banker, Lord. Restore that relationship. Somebody here, marriage may be struggling. We're praying, Lord, that you restore that relationship, yes, Father. There may be somebody here tonight, maybe single, and believe by faith that if they write their vision down, that you can answer in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that you restore them, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we look in your word, Lord, to see what we can apply.
I want to thank you for listening today, and we want to take this opportunity to describe the ABCs of salvation. The A of salvation is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The B of salvation is believe in your heart. And the C of salvation is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can do those three things today, then you can be saved. If you can believe that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, that he died for your sins and was buried and raised again on the third day, then today you can be saved. And you can pray a simple prayer of salvation and just ask God into your heart to accept, believe, and confess today, and you will be saved. You pray a prayer of salvation. We want you to become a part of a church home. If you're anywhere near Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, we want to see you at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. We want to thank you for listening. Bless you. Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. And if you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life, and you can pick it up at Amazon.com, or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.